The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, June 5th. We're diving into the van life trend that's picked up steam in the U.S. over the past year. Large numbers of people have been traveling around the country in camper vans and RVs, and some have even decided to ditch their apartments or houses altogether to make van life their new full-time reality. Today, we'll hear from the owner of a camper van rental service that's been busier than ever the last year. She'll talk about things to consider now that it's such a popular trend. But first, we're talking to someone who has lived in different vehicles for the last 6 years and really embraced it. Kristen Haynes now runs The Wayward Home, a website filled with advice for living more simply on the road. She describes both the fun side and the less than glamorous reality of van life. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You embraced the van life lifestyle long before the current trend started getting attention. So tell our listeners how and why you got started.
So I got started actually with a Toyota Prius, which I consider any kind of vehicle living van life because it all has the same values of freedom, independence, saving money, etc. So I did this in 2015 and I did it so I could finally pay off this lingering debt I'd had for about 10 years, which was pretty much impossible to pay off while also paying for rent in the San Francisco Bay Area, which was preposterously expensive. A guy I was dating actually had this idea of, oh, let's save $20,000 a year by living in a vehicle. And I thought he was crazy. But eventually I decided, what the heck, I'm going to try it. And so I've lived in a Prius for 4 months and I paid off all my debt and I saved up money. And then I started to think, wow, this is kind of an interesting lifestyle. And so now I split my time between a sailboat and a minivan. It's a Chevy Astro van from 1994. I've had the van for about 3 years now. And during the summer months, I travel all over the U.S. in this van. And in the winter, I am on a sailboat in Mexico.
For those who aren't as familiar with this lifestyle, tell us how you handle certain necessities like access to a bathroom or an internet connection, things like that.
Yeah, these are all really interesting things and questions I get all the time, especially because I'm in a small van. A Chevy Astro is not one of those big Sprinters or Ford Transits. It's a minivan. And so there's limited items we can fit. And one of those items we do not have is a toilet, which always kind of freaks people out. They're like, what do you do for a toilet? Especially my mom. She asks me like 20 times a month. What we do is we usually go to rest areas. And also if we're near a campground, we're staying at a campground, we'll just use those bathrooms, sometimes a Starbucks, you know, a coffee shop, or, you know, we're backpackers. So sometimes we'll just go way in the middle of nowhere and go to the bathroom just in nature. And so we have all the above at our disposal. It just depends on kind of where we are, if we're in a city, in the country, et cetera. And for the internet connection, that's really interesting because I work remotely and I need to have internet. So I actually found a hotspot that gives me unlimited data. And that's been a total game changer for me. I can use it in Mexico. I can use it in the States. And even when we're boondocking in pretty remote areas, I've gotten signal. And I also have a cellular signal booster that helps me get signal if we're a little bit further away from cell towers. So amazingly, I've been able to make the internet thing work, which took some figuring out in a few years of trial and error, but now it works perfectly.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about van life?
I definitely think it's funny, all those pictures that people have that show them looking really clean all the time, doing yoga, you know, having this amazing adventure. And while some of it is amazing, a lot of it I think is really tough. Oftentimes you don't know where you're going to be sleeping that night. And we try to boondock often, which is free camping on public lands. And so I'm always on these apps looking for specific campsites that we can go to. So that's one of the hard parts. We can't just take a shower anywhere when we feel like dirty or sweaty from a hike. We have to actually heat up a solar shower or heat up hot water, put it in the solar shower, make sure we're out in the middle of nowhere so we can hang the solar shower with nobody around and then take a shower. There's a lot of inconveniences that most people living in a house never experience or even think about. And so you do learn to really live with less, and it's pretty much glorified camping. So if you like camping, you probably might like van life to some extent, but doing it full time is a little more rugged than the Instagram might make you think.
I do know that van life popularity has soared during the pandemic, though. So when you are in those more public campgrounds, do you see more people at campsites? And if so, what was the impact?
Unfortunately, it actually did have a really big impact. What's happening is in these boondocking sites, as people are just throwing trash, and this is something that drives me crazy, but people just throw their trash like out in the middle of nowhere at their campsite and just think that's okay. Like, we've come across fire pits in the middle of nowhere just full of beer bottles, glass bottles, like cans, just littering these remote campsites. And we also have heard that some people are leaving like tons of human waste and toilet paper all over the place. And this has led to closures of certain free camping boondocking areas.
What advice would you have for someone interested in van life? What should people think about before diving in?
Think hard about your budget and how much you want to spend. You could always get a cheap van at first. Like, my van was only $6,000 and I made it work. So you could start with something real cheap. You don't need to buy one of those $150,000 Sprinter conversions. You can do a cheap van, just get out there, go on some weekend trips, maybe a week-long trip. Try to get used to it and see if you actually really like it before giving up an apartment or wherever you live. I think it's important to test drive it before you just jump in and expect it to be amazing.
You have shared that some of your family members have been a little skeptical of your lifestyle, but what do they think about it now, especially since your website, The Wayward Home, is such a success?
Yeah, the family's getting used to the idea, and they're going to be excited when I have a larger van one day. I think that that's going to be really thrilling for them.
Well, what are your long-term plans?
So my next long-term plan is a Sprinter van, which we plan on converting ourselves. We want to get that van, build it out, and still maintain the same traveling 6 months a year on the van and 6 months on the boat. And maybe one day, if my goals are making it, I'll take a van to South America. That's kind of a new dream of mine. So yeah, but I really love the lifestyle and I can't see ending it anytime soon.
Still ahead, advice for first-time or more seasoned campers to know before they hit the road. We're talking to Deborah Kane next. She left a successful public service career behind to create a rental service she describes as the Airbnb of camper vans. But first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with today's sponsors.
Hey, it's Erica, and I'm excited to tell you about one of the most recent meals we made with HelloFresh. It was the Monterey Jack Unfried Chicken with buttery green beans, potato wedges, and sriracha mayo. HelloFresh delivers all the fresh pre-measured ingredients alongside easy-to-follow seasonal recipes right to my door. So with this meal, we whipped up super juicy and tender baked chicken with crunch on the outside still and no frying needed, while all still getting that delicious taste. We were pretty proud of ourselves and our stomachs were happy too. I also love that HelloFresh's ingredients are sourced directly from growers and delivered from the farm to our front door in less than a week. And there's something for everyone, from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. I'm not surprised to hear that HelloFresh has been named Newsweek's most trusted meal kit company of 2021, with more than 4 million households served. And now is a great time to try, because you can get 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy12 and use the code newsworthy12. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy12 and use that code newsworthy12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. With Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program based in psychology to help your aspirations become reality. Because with Noom, it's not just about losing weight. You're building the habits to actually keep it off in the long term and accomplish any of your other personal health goals. Maybe you want to have more energy, enjoy exercising again, or simply feel good about your daily choices. Whatever it is, Noom can help. And it's convenient along the way. Noom knows everyone is busy, and that's why Noom does not demand much of your time. They only ask for about 10 minutes a day. In fact, Noom works with your lifestyle and is forgiving. They know you're human, so it's okay to go off track today and just get back on track tomorrow. So are you ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial with Noom at Noom.com/newsworthy. That's Noom.com/newsworthy.
Thanks, Erica. Okay, now here's my conversation with Deborah Kane. Deborah Kane, thank you for joining us on the Newsworthy today.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before starting GoCamp, you had a very successful public service career. So what inspired you to make the transition?
I had worked in the field of food and agriculture for probably almost 25 years, and I was really just ready for a change. I wanted to do something completely different. We have an Airbnb basement apartment at the bottom of our house, and I have a camper van. I watched my Airbnb guests walk by my camper van on the way to the basement apartment. Like so many other guests, they invariably, you know, peeked in the windows of the camper van. And that was the moment when I thought to myself, somebody should do an Airbnb just for camper vans.
Tell us about how the pandemic impacted your business then as you transitioned to the Airbnb camper van rental.
By the end of March, we probably canceled every reservation we had on the books. We went from absolutely convinced that we were going to not survive the year to needing to hire more staff just so we could keep up. Once most of the, you know, local authorities, cities and counties started letting people leave their homes again, the one thing that everybody wanted to do was go further than their backyard, if possible. As it turned out, there was no better way to travel safely than in a camper van. I had whiplash, honestly. The year was just insane.
This year, you've said you expect rentals to triple compared to last year. So what do you think's driving these numbers?
On one hand, they're great for your vacation, but they're also great for a mode of travel that you might not have thought of otherwise. And then when so many people started turning to RVs and camper vans during COVID, I feel like many of them thought about RV travel for the first time. It's an amazing way to see the country. So now we're in this situation. We've got people wanting to do their second and their third and their fourth trip, and they might not have ever been introduced to it had it not been for COVID.
What do first-time campers need to know before they hit the road? Are there any common mistakes you see people make?
One of the things that people need to understand is that, you know, if they are interested in catching the sunrise over Yosemite, 6,000 other people are too. There's never been more demand for campground spots than there is today. You know, one mistake that people make is they head off with no plan. With so many people using camper vans and RVs as their COVID pods or their vacation, you know, escape vehicles, you really do need and want to know where you're going to park.
More people are actually choosing to live out of their vans and their RVs full time. So what do you make of that trend? Do you think it will last beyond the pandemic? And also, have you had users come to you and specifically say, we're going to rent one to see if we like it enough to live in it?
So you're seeing more and more people move into camper vans as a way to see more of the country, but they're also, the camper van becomes their mobile office and it's working. I think, yes, we'll see it continue to grow. You know, more and more people will opt to do that. You know, they're much more affordable in many instances than a mortgage in the city. You want to test it before you sell your house for sure.
Well, would you ever live out of your camper van full time?
That is such a good question. So I just did a 5-week road trip in my camper van. I'm in Portland, Oregon. My mother is in Virginia. I wanted to visit her. I hadn't seen her since COVID hit, and I didn't want to get on an airplane. And so, inspired by all the renters that we'd had come through GoCamp, I got in my van and I drove to Virginia and back. I loved it. And I also thought to myself, I'm not sure I would have loved it as much if my husband were with me. And I love my husband. I adore my husband. But I love it as for solo travel. The beds in the van sometimes are a little small. You know, it's not a king-size bed in the camper van. It's a tight living space when you're going to be in it for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks or a lifetime.
Well, I was just going to say that's probably your best piece of advice, but do you have any other advice or final thoughts on this topic?
You don't need to shell out, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a camper van if you're only going to use it once or twice a year. You should absolutely just rent because, you know, there's so many great options out there, whether it's GoCamp or any of the other services. You don't need to buy if you don't think that ownership is for you.
Thank you to Deborah Kane and Kristen Haynes for sharing their insights today. It's unclear exactly how many people ditched their apartments for camper vans during the pandemic, but stats show most van lifers are based in California, Colorado, and Florida, and about half of them say they live in their vehicles full time. Be sure to check us out Monday through Friday for our daily roundups, where we provide all the day's news in about 10 minutes. Until then, have a great weekend.